the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. Shake hands with people beside you and say, the Lord bless you. Bless you, brother. And you should maybe see it for a moment after that. Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one. Praise God. We just want to thank everyone for praying. Debbie's got the all clear back. And we just thank God for that. And if you haven't heard, Philip's wee girl Anna May fell off a horse yesterday and was knocked unconscious, had to be took to the hospital, and they did different scans and everything on her, but everything's come back clear. So we just thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Just keep Anna May in prayer, and we appreciate it with our brother Gary prayed that God will get them young.
Amen.
And that's the utmost thing.
Correct.
The most important thing out of everything, and I keep saying it, and I really see it all the time more and more, is salvation. Yeah. Salvation is the most important thing. Yeah. And really, on Wednesday night, I came home Wednesday night, and you know, it dawned on me again, it did on the service. But I thought about it again. Look at the way God saved people. And even them foolish virgins, He saved them. Multitude that no man can number. And not only that, turned to the Jews and saved the Jews. That's not the word of God. He's not willing that any should perish. Praise God. Now I'm going to preach about water baptism this morning, talk about it. Some people's wanting baptized, and we thank the Lord for that. But just to recap, just briefly, and just to say, Wednesday night's I was praying, you know, before Wednesday night. I was really praying about maybe starting to do something in Revelations. And then somebody came and asked me, would I do something in Revelations? So that was an answer to what I was praying. And I was praying about it and thinking about it. And every time I went into the office, the wee office at the back of the place where I went, garage, I'd go in there. That's my wee place where I go, and it's quiet and get away from everything. And I was praying, and every time I kept going to Revelations. I can't get away from Revelations. So I believe it's answered prayer. I'm not saying I'll do it every Wednesday. And if you have a question on it, write it down, put it in the tithe box, give it to one of the deacons. I'm not saying I'll have all the answers. I might not, but I'll do my best. But God definitely has all the answers. And this Bible has the answers. And just to say briefly, and I mentioned it Wednesday night, you heard me mention Clarence Larkin, where a lot of his things was the same as Brother Branham. And then I told you where William Branham corrected him. And what I mentioned on Wednesday night, and I want to just say this before we go into the water baptism this morning, because you can say things and people will go away with it and say, well, he believes everything Clarence Larkin says or this or that. Well, he doesn't. But just to say this, Clarence Larkin was a dispensationalist. That's the brethren's the same. The Baptists are the same. The Free Peas are the same. And what that means is this. They believe that we're no longer in the dispensation with apostolic age. They believe that ceased with the apostles. And therefore there's no more gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. And the apostolic age ceased. Now the Catholic Church believe that the Pope is the predecessor of the apostolic age. He's the new apostolic, if you like. That's what he believes. Well, they're both wrong. Both of them. And that's where William Branham corrected Larkin. And you know that the spirit of Elijah coming to the Gentiles, prophesied in Malachi 4, is to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. And you see, Larkin took Malachi 4 till Elijah going to the 144,000. And he was wrong there. He missed the spirit of Elijah coming to the Gentiles. He also said that Israel would receive the message of the kingdom, which is different from the message of grace. So what did you get this? This is what Larkin believed. And many others preach this. You might know that, but I know that's what they preach, because I study it all and read it all. And they preach that the Jews will receive the gospel of the kingdom, which is a different gospel than you received. It's the same gospel John preached. Now there's no scripture for that. That's their thinking. That's man's idea. But Brother Branham said that they will receive the same Pentecost Because the Word of God says that they're saved. And I want to say again this morning, and I felt this from the prayer this morning, the Jews do not conceive with a different seed than me or you. It's the same seed, the Holy Ghost. There's only one seed, God. We show also for people saying that the blood finishes and all these things, it's not true. Because those that come out of great tribulation stand in the midst of the throne, yes, with palms in their hand, no crowns, palms in their hand, with their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. So they come out of tribulation washed in the blood of the Lamb. Saved. Now what also the denomination say is, they say when the bride goes, the Holy Spirit goes to the bride, and that's where they take the scripture that Jesus leaves the throne and comes for his bride. And then the sacrificial work finishes. But we saw on Wednesday night when the foolish virgins, or those who come out of great tribulation, stood before in the midst of the throne, Jesus was on the throne. All of them, the same seat. After the rapture took place. So you see, all these ideas are well and good, but if they go from this word, they're wrong. I don't care who preached them. Now the work's finished to the bride, because there's no more bride comes in after the rapture goes. That's it. That's the bride finished. That's true. But God still works on. Because he's not willing that any should perish. And this is just an introduction this morning. But isn't it wonderful? What I get from it is God's mercy to save. Takes his bride out, and then there's a group come out of great tribulation. And there's so many things what can be said about that in the Bible, and what William Branham said as well. He said they'll realize the message that came was right after the bride goes, and they'll start reading it. He says that in one place. And there's so many things he does say about it, and it's so wonderful. It's just wonderful, God's word. And you, when you go into Revelation, you're going to have to deal with the seven seas, you're going to have to deal with the seven churches, seven vows, seven trumpets. So many things. Praise God. But the main thing is salvation for me. And I believe that's God's main thing. Jesus came to redeem mankind. Amen. And also on the Sabbaths as well, somebody did ask the question about the seventh day on. You know, there's different views on it. People believe we're in the seventh day now. We're still in it. And people that believe that, they're good scholars. And I'm not saying they're wrong. And I'm not saying they're right. And people believe it's seven literal days. And other people do not believe it's seven literal days. Creation. They don't believe that. They take the scripture, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So all these things are good, aren't they? And there's many different views on them, but the main thing is salvation. And here's the thing we have to watch. If you have to watch, you don't get caught up in wanting to prove whether it's one day or whether it's 1,000 years. And all these things, when you get into it, these animals and stuff on the earth and all these different things, and you get into all that and you preach on that, but the problem is that's all well and good. But is that the gospel? Who will that save? That you know more than your brother on it. Who will it save? Nobody. You'll maybe fall out with a few people, but that's about all it can do for you. And you see, there is truth in all these things. I believe that. There is truth in it. I can say to you, I believe this. You mightn't agree with me. That doesn't mean that you're in and I'm out. This is the problem with a lot of this. You see, this poor people has went wrong in a lot of things, and especially around these end time churches, there's such a difference, it's unbelievable. But the word remains the truth. Amen? So just to tell you, Larkin had a lot of good things, but Larkin was working with this here. You understand what I'm saying? You can study things out from an educational standpoint, and it can take you a whole lot of places. But then you take a man with a 7th grade education. I couldn't do that. But an angel stood in his room. and said that what you're going to preach tonight on these scenes is wrong. And God corrected him. And he says you can receive nothing except by revelation. You can't learn it. And isn't Jesus saying, no man can know me save to him who the Father revealed? Amen. So it's all by the Spirit of God. And we saw as well when people say the Holy Spirit leaves the earth when the bride goes, how did the foolish virgin get saved then? Because you cannot come to Christ without the Holy Spirit moving on you. It's impossible. I showed you the scripture for that the other night. And you say, oh, but they're saved without the Holy Spirit. They're not. They can't be. But the Bible says, no man can enter the kingdom except he's born in the water and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they're in the kingdom, standing in the middle of it. That's God's word. So you see, we can think we've things figured out, but does it match the word of God? And you can see why God had to send a message at the end time. Because there's wee branches here and there and on and yonder and everywhere, and they all start out well. But the main thing's the gospel, isn't it? Yeah. Praise God. Now here's the subject this morning. We're going to read Matthew 16, verse 16. And people say, do I need to get baptized? I know one man, and he says, I don't need to get baptized. And he told his wife he never needs to get baptized. And he said the feast on the cross wasn't baptized. Well, we'll look at the Word of God and see what it says. Amen. Yeah. Now, baptism, I want to say, does not save you. You're not saved by getting baptized in water. But we're going to see what it means. Let's turn while we read verse 16. And after two at least young fellows want baptized, and they've asked me, would I say some things on it? And this is why I'm doing it. And if there's others need baptized, praise God. Amen. And by the way, we're still here tonight at 6 o'clock. I know some people's advertising meeting somewhere else. And if somebody wants to go, that's good. But we'll be here at 6 o'clock tonight with a gospel service. And I pray for the other meetings elsewhere. I thank God for them, but we'll be here by God's grace. Amen. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, sorry, Mark 16. 16, sorry, what did I say? Sorry, Mark. When I look over at Mark, it reminds me. Mark. Thanks, Brother Jeff. Praise God. Good job, these fellas, of my scriptures. Amen. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Let's come and bow our heads in the view. Have a request this morning, just raise your hand to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your precious blood and for the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit answers to the blood. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit will move in our midst. Teach us thy word. For you said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. It will tickle the fathers and reveal it unto you. It will show you things to come. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the real evidence that a man has a spirit is that he can receive the truth. And your word is truth, for your truth. We pray, Lord, that that truth will speak to our hearts today, and you'll touch men and women's hearts. For these young men that are seeking to be baptized in water, Lord, I pray, you'll open their understandings to these truths in Jesus' precious name. For every brother and sister that's here, that you bless and strengthen them in Jesus' precious name. And bless your word to their hearts, Lord. For the hand that's reached, you know the needs, Lord, all of our needs. And pray in Jesus' precious name, you'll meet every need. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for David. We pray, God, you'll continue to speak to her and bring her to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. We ask for Rihanna May that you'll touch her again. Amen. Lord, that you'll speak to her young life and save her young. Deliver her from every snare of the fire. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, for those that need, Lord, a physical touch on their body. You are the healer.
Amen.
Regardless to what symptoms we have, we know that by your stripes we were healed. You penetrate. Now, Father, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me and to speak through me. And I thank you that you do undertake. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one. Praise God. Now, I want to look at this different. And what I mean by that is, always, when most of us take water baptism, we approve that it's in the name of Jesus Christ, and we spend the whole time doing that. That's not what I'm doing today. We know it's in His name, so we don't need to keep proving it. We know it is. Amen. It's like we know the Trinity's wrong, so we don't need to keep at it every minute. So we want to look at what this is all about. Here's what I'm going to talk about. Water baptism, how, when, and why. How, when, and why. Now, God's way of salvation is still the same. We believe that. First believe, then be baptized. Believing in Christ produces an inward change in our hearts. Being baptized in water is an outward act of obedience by which we testify of the change that has taken place in our hearts. For this act, we make ourselves one with Christ in His burial and resurrection. We are separated from the old life of sin and defeat. We come out of the water to lead a new life of righteousness and victory, made possible by God's power in us. We want to look at God's word, how, when, and why. And God's power is in us when you're saved, because the Bible says it is. It says, as many as receive Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God. So what about baptism is all about? Death, burial, and resurrection. And you're showing to the world that you're a real believer. You're testifying. You have accepted Christ when you do this. Now I'm going to go through lots of scriptures, and this will be question time. I want you to listen carefully. What reason did Jesus Himself give for being baptized? And I'm going to be talking from the Lord here. No other man but the Word of God and God's Word. And we are following the Lord. In Matthew 3:15, here's what Jesus says. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so, concerning Himself. Now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then He suffered him. Jesus Himself was baptized of John to fulfill all righteousness. Now you think, I don't need baptized. Well, the Lord could baptize. Are you better than the Lord? And if the Lord could baptize to fulfill the Word of God and to fulfill all righteousness, we need to follow in His steps. So it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now listen, how did the Holy Spirit show He was pleased when the Lord did baptize? I'll tell you how He showed He was pleased in the same scripture, only in verse 16 of Matthew. It says the Spirit descended upon Him when He came out of the water, and it abode upon Him as a dove. It came down on Him. The Holy Spirit came down on Him, and then I can say to you, how was the Father pleased? The Father spoke from heaven and said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the Spirit descended on Him, and the Father said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, because He obeyed the Word. And when we obey the Word, God will fulfill His Word. And this is the thing William Branham said when he gave the prescription. He said, there is a prescription to forgive sins and to remit them. And he says, the priest doesn't have it, meaning the Catholic priest. But he says, it is in the Word of God. And it's Acts 2:38, where Peter said, repent ye therefore, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. That's what that gift is. Eternal life. So you see, that's exactly in line with what we're saying here about the Lord Jesus. He got baptized and the Spirit come on him. And Brother Branham says, if we have come right and genuinely repented and accepted Christ, then we are candidates for the Holy Ghost and water baptism. When we get baptized in water, we are candidates for the Holy Spirit. because he says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk upright before him. Amen? So we see that God was pleased with us, Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved Son. And also, did Jesus go down into the water? And look at verse 16. Yes, he went right down into the water. They didn't sprinkle him. They didn't sprinkle him over the head like the Catholic Church did. And many so-called Protestant churches sprinkle babies and they sprinkle people, and it's pure popery. There's not a scripture for any of it. And you know what many churches today, they use infant baptism. Do you know the scripture they use? Circumcision. They use an Old Testament scripture where the child was circumcised at a certain age, and they use that as baptizing in water. Now that's taking God's word totally out of its context. That's nothing to do with it. And circumcision today in the heart is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Paul said we are to be circumcised not in flesh but in the heart. And you know when Paul the Apostle came with his message there's a whole argument. Because people weren't circumcised. There's a whole fuss about it. You know that when you read Paul's messages. And Paul said it's circumcision of the heart we need, not the flesh. So you see water baptism as a baby. And you know, you're sprinkling them and more or less saying they're now in the kingdom of God. That's not true.
Amen.
That's absolutely false teaching. A man cannot be entering the kingdom of God unless he's saved. And even a child's not saved, they will go to heaven before they come to the age of understanding. We know that. That's the Bible. And they have to be made accountable. When they come to the age of accountability, then God will judge them on that. And if it's a wee child that doesn't have the faculties to know that, I believe they'll be saved. Do you know that? I believe that with all my heart. Because they don't have that. If they don't understand it, then God is merciful and they'll be saved. I believe that. You might agree with that. I don't care. That's the way I believe it anyhow. Amen. When you see the Jews reckon it's about 14 or 15. Is that right? Or is it 12? There's different ages, people say. Maybe it's 12 years old, but people of different ages where they class somebody, but then you have to go by, you know, how acute a person is. A fella could be 10, could be very smart, and somebody else could be 10, but maybe they're not as far forward. So, you see, you leave all that to God, you see. Don't get worried about any of that. But for an adult must be saved, and a young person as well, when you hear the gospel preached and it speaks to your heart, you get saved. Amen. We thank God for salvation. So Jesus went right down into the water and said, tells us that. Now if a person wants to be saved, what did Jesus Christ say he should do after believing the gospel? In Mark 16:16, he said, be baptized. Not the words of the Lord Jesus. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So he should be baptized. After you get saved, get baptized.
Yeah.
Now, if we were a brethren assembly, and no harm to the brethren, I appreciate the brethren. They have a lot of good things and a lot of bad. And they have a lot of genuine men and a lot of men that's not so genuine, but nevertheless, that's everywhere. But if you were the brethren, I would make you sit at the back once you get saved. And the elders would watch you for about a year. And you wouldn't be allowed communion and you wouldn't be baptized in water till they decided if you were worthy or not. Now I knew one old elder like that when he watched this particular fella. And he preached different things and he told him they shouldn't have a television and all the rest of it. But this fella wasn't saved now. But he came by one night with his rubber whiskey on. And he came by the old elder's house and the old boy was in watching the telly and he put a steward to the back wall. And what he gave him, and this is a true story, he gave him some of dressing down and he says, you hypocrite, you're up preaching, there you are, sitting watching the telly and telling all the young people you go to hell, you watch the telly and you're sitting watching it. So you see, the Bible says, if you're saved, you're saved. You know, the brother Ian worked with a fellow one time. I hope he doesn't mind me telling this. This is for it, but it's true. But there's a fellow he worked with one time, and this boy was telling him, you know, he was at a meeting, and some people made professions. Many's ever heard that. There was two professed. And then he was telling Ian, he says that he went out for a meal or two, and they started to take a bit of wine. And he says, you know, this night, brother, he says, we took that much wine, it was tipsy. He was drunk. And Ian says to him, I but brother, you don't profess then. I tell you, I took the legs from under him. But you see, who can judge another man? If a man's come to Christ and he's washed in the blood of the Lamb, and he's dead with the Bible, he told them to teach them. To teach them the Word of God. So we're to preach and teach, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, which is the Lord, and the name of the Son, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, thus anointed Christ. And to teach them all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. So we're to teach them. Now you see, when people take you and baptize you three times, they haven't taught you anything. It's called the title over you, not the name. And Jesus said, do it in the name of the Father. That's the Lord. And the name of the Son is Jesus. And Christ means the anointed one. And that's how we're to do it. And that's why Peter was right in Acts 2:38. Now I know the old Methodist preacher told me Peter made a mistake. Oh yes, he informed me Peter was wrong. And I said, my, there you are. And I says, would he be wrong anywhere else? Yes. Would there be any more mistakes? Because if there is, you see, we can't use the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
But it wouldn't be absolute. But the right truth of it was, he was wrong.
Yes. Amen.
And his organization was wrong. Amen. But the Bible was right.
Amen.
That's one of the things that God's prophet enforced and brought back, was the truth on water baptism. That was one of the main things he brought, hammered it.
Yes.
Because we needed to hear it. Everybody did. Because they've got off on titles. And you know, 325 of the Nicene Council, and you can read the history on it, when they formed that council and they forbade them to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they formed the Trinity back then as well. And there's a whole fallout over the Godhead and over the Trinity and all them things, and that's what it all began and started. And that's when it came in as well, that you had to do so many years in college and all the rest of it, and be educated and all the rest to be a minister. But the Methodists, they used to have what they called lay preachers. That's where the saying come from, the Methodists. Many's ever heard of lay preachers. That was fellas that wasn't educated.
Amen.
Never went to college. They were lay preachers. Many of the time they're better than the ones that weren't lay.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
It's God. On the Damascus Road. And he was persecuting the church, and God called Paul. And God called Paul, Peter, a fisherman. And I tell you, look at them men, how God used them. So it's not on education. It's all about the Lord. And if God calls a man, amen. To whom did Jesus send his disciples with this message in Matthew 28? He tells us, go to all the nations. So this message of salvation and water baptisms to the whole nations, to the whole world, it's to everybody. So when people say, we don't need to worry about that, then they're saying they don't need to worry about the commission. This is part of the Great Commission. Jesus gave this as part of the Great Commission. Go and preach the gospel and baptize in my name. That's what he said. He says, I've made you fishers of men. Amen. The Lord, you know, said the other night, God gives us the Holy Ghost, don't you go and tell other people. Praise God. So we see that. What does Jesus Christ expect people to do after they've been baptized? Matthew 28:20. Teaching them that serve all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So once you've been baptized, you have to serve all things. You have to follow God's word. Observe the word. Study the word. Obey the word of God. And that's why we do these things, and that's the Bible. Amen. What did Peter tell people to do before being baptized in Acts 2:38? He told them to repent. So if somebody hasn't repented, they shouldn't be getting baptized. There must be a repentance before baptism. I said a couple of things to somebody the other day, and they told another person what he's slobbering about. He's in jail 3 times. That's all true. Twice, actually. They said 3 times. Maybe they were prophesying. But anyhow, you see, what they failed to realize was Tommy McKinstry repented. He was in jail twice. He did do lots of things. The police records of me, like reading the Telegraph. I got them a while back and ended them. As one fellow said, after 10 years to do away with them, that's nonsense. My 10 years was up, they still had all of them. If I paid a certain amount of money and I got them. The fellow told me to get them for a certain reason, and I went and got them there. They were all the pieces. But you see, God brought me to the place of repentance. For I bowed my knees and I said, Lord, I'm guilty. I done it. I want you to forgive me. I want you to cleanse me. And where can make restitution of me? And sometimes you can't make restitution on everything. Some of the old Methodists, you know, made you do restitution. You stole 4 apples, you had to go back with them. That's the way they work. And the ticket, you know, for the tax collector, rob people and they go back and give them. That's for the ticket from. Now that's well and good. Sometimes you can do restitution on some you can't. Now what do you do about that? You just trust the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Amen.
Amen.
You can't hold somebody in bondage. Praise God. So repentance is the first thing we have to do before we can get baptized. How many people did Peter say should be baptized in Acts 2:38? He tells us, everyone that repented. So every single person that believes in Jesus Christ and every single person that repents should get baptized. It's for all that believe, baptism. It's not just for the elect few, or you know I'm saying that, I don't mean it the wrong way, you understand what I mean. I mean it's for every single Christian. And to get baptized. He said, till all that repent get baptized. Amen. How did the people act who gladly received God's word in Acts 2:41? And you read Acts 2:41. They gladly received the word, were baptized the same day. What were the brethren done with that? They baptized them the same day. They didn't read that scripture, should have been, but it was there. They were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Amen.
So how did the people react after the baptized? I'll tell you how they reacted. There was great gladness on them. There was great joy upon them.
Amen.
Because the Lord saved them. The Lord delivered them. Praise God.
Amen.
Now look, what did the people of Samaria do after they believed Philip's preaching in Acts 8 verse 12? And when they believed Philip's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So after they received Philip's preaching and baptized, after they received Paul's preaching and baptized, every word's the same thing, isn't it? They were baptized. Jesus was baptized. John was baptized. All these people were baptized. That's the way to do it. And we're going to see why as we go on here. What did Philip tell the eunuch he must do before being baptized in Acts 8:37? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And they answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believed on Christ and he baptized him. And you know what the eunuch answered to Philip? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's how he answered him. Do you believe? He said. And he said, I believe. And he stopped the chariot and he went down and baptized him in water. Same hour. He never even given the day. There and then he baptized him. After he believed. Straight away. Immediately. Yeah. And you remember, the Spirit caught Philip over to that eunuch. Because that eunuch was on his chariot reading from the Old Testament, remember. And he says, how can I understand what's in Isaiah here except one, someone tell me? And the Holy Ghost translated Philip beside him. Amen. What do you think of that? And he began at the same scripture and preached Christ from the Old Testament. And that's what we're to preach. You notice all these readings that preach Christ. They didn't preach some church or some organization. They preached Jesus Christ. That's who we must preach. Jesus Christ must be preached. Praise God. And you know the Ethiopian eunuch, did he go down to the water? Yes. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Acts 8:38, and he baptized him. He took him down into the water. He didn't say, hang on, I have a bottle of holy water the Pope gave me. And I'll sprinkle you wet. You'll go right, he never said that. He took him down into the water, and he baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And when he finished baptizing him, God brought him away again.
Amen.
He had a job for him somewhere else.
Amen.
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 I thank God for it. How did the eunuch feel after being baptized? Verse 39, can't you? And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, the eunuch did, rejoicing. I tell you, after he got it, he rejoiced. After he got it, he was glad. Just the same as they were when they heard Philip preaching. There's something wrong with the gospel if it gives you a big long face.
Amen. Glory.
Something wrong.
Amen.
It makes you glad. It makes you rejoice.
Glory. Amen.
You saved your God.
Yes.
You're the child of the King.
Amen.
All the privileges of God is yours. You're joint heirs of God.
Amen.
Your big brother is Jesus.
Amen.
Heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Glory now.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Never can be lost.
Amen.
See you for all time and all eternity.
Amen.
Felt glad. Praise God for it. You know what about Acts 10? You go to Acts 10, 44 and 48. After Cornelius and his friends had been saved and received the Holy Ghost, what did Peter command them to do next? And you see, I want you to get this. I'm deliberately reading this scripture because people say you can't get the Holy Ghost until you're baptized in water first. That's not true. Here's the scripture to prove it. All right. Verse 44 of Acts 10. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came to Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
Amen.
Then answered Peter, verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized with, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?
Amen.
So they got the Holy Ghost before they ever reached the water. So you can't put God in another weak denominational box.
Amen.
And say this is how it would be.
Lord.
But he'd do different.
Amen.
33. What did the Philippian jailer and his family do after believing Paul's message? They got baptized. All of them. The whole house. Was that some revival? People talk about people coming in. God saved the household. Just like that. They got baptized the same day.
Amen.
Praise God. Read it, you see. Then he called for the light and springing in and came trembling and fell before Paul and Silas. Verse 30 of Acts 16. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Join the church. How long to get a bottle of holy water out? You don't read none of that, sure you don't. Here's what you do read in verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved on thy house. And they speak unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were with his house. Verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night. And you know when they cried, sign, midnight. See, this was after midnight. This was a late meeting, wasn't it? This was a late service. This was after midnight. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
I tell you, the Lord never sleeps. The Bible says that. It says that God Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
Amen.
Praise God. And he took them the self same hour of the night and washed their stripes because he had beaten them. And was baptized, he and all his house straightway. And this man that beat Paul and Silas, he put stripes in the back. He washed them and he bathed them. Now they didn't say, you're a real rascal, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you one up the gob, you hit me. They didn't do none of that, they preached Christ. In the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their pain, they preached Jesus.
Amen.
And when the man saw it, he could see it. And had the privilege of baptizing him in the whole house. Amen. That's real revival.
Amen.
Acts 19, verse 4-5. What did the disciples at Ephesus do after believing Paul's message? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He rebaptized them. Amen.
Amen.
That's why Larkin was wrong. You could never take the message of John to Israel, but you would have to take the message of Pentecost to Israel.
Amen.
That's what Brother Branham said. Glory to God.
Amen.
You see, they missed the coming of the Malachi 4, 5 and 6 messenger, and they refer it over to the Jews coming to Israel. They've missed it, but it's happened already. And we are promised a Malachi 4, 5 and 6 messenger to the Gentiles to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. And we've had it. We thank God for it. To bring us out of popery, that's what it's really all about, you know. All this Babylonian teaching and stuff.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You know, there was an image to the beast, and it was the Protestant churches formed an image to the beast. They all run after her. We know that's the truth. But thank God for the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Look at Romans 6, verse 4. Now, here we're coming near the end. Through which two experiences do believers follow Christ when they're baptized? Two experiences now. This would be a question. You young fellows, write it all down. And this is serious. It's good, isn't it? This is God's word. Two things. Now, we're going to look at the scripture for the first one. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him. You're buried with him. There's a death takes place. You're buried with Christ. Praise God. By baptism into his death. So when you get baptized in water, you're showing that you're buried with Christ to the world. Praise God. That like us Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Colossians 2 and 12 tells us, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. So you're showing us death and burial and resurrection. So when you go into the water, you're dying to the world, to self. You've been buried. It's a sign. And when you come back, you're saved. I'm a new man. But you know, I've had people say to me, "Will you take me away and baptize me in secret?" Why? Why would you be ashamed of the Lord? Amen? Now, no, we're the secret believers in the Bible. But let's, come on, we don't want to be secret believers, do we?
Amen.
We want to tell, we're seeing
it.
Praise God. How does Paul say believers should live after being baptized? He says in these scriptures I've read you, they should walk in newness of life. So after you've been baptized, you've died, you've been buried, you've been resurrected, you're walking in newness of life. You're a new creature. Walk as a believer. Fellowship with saints, not with devils.
Amen.
Stick with Christians. Come to church. Come to the prayer meeting. Read your Bible. Pray. Put God first, not second. A lot of people put God second. That's the truth now, but it's a shame. If they have time, they'll do it. I tell you, we need to make time for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. How does Paul say believers should live after being baptized? Walk in newness of life. Praise God. Now look at Galatians 3, verse 26 and 28. Galatians 3. Is there any difference between races? Should we act different? Whether we're yellow, black, and white, you know the wee song says, all stripes in the sight. Do you think there's any difference, mate? Well, Galatians 3, 26, 28, look what it says. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So whether you're a woman or a man, whether you're black or white, red or yellow, you're the same in the Lord. There's no difference. I worked with a fellow and he believed black people were circumcised. I tell him, I says, that's blasphemy. What do you believe? That's an absolute joke. I said a black man's blood would save you if you're dead. And a white man's blood would save a black man if he was dead. I says, you're absolutely blind. I says, the real thing is that the serpent began to eat. And she committed an act of adultery. That's the original sin. Now I tell you, people come out for stuff and it's wrong. And that's what he believed. He believed that they were serpency. And he talked a lot about it. Can't clear me out. I always seen after that one. Oh my, I've stand for the truth. You say don't have an argument. No, but Paul went in and debated with him.
Right.
In the synagogues, didn't he? Like the boys telling you, it was a fruit to eat in the garden. And you know what Brother Branham said? He said, the boy told him, well, Brother Branham, they had an apple. And he says, well, they need to start passing them. Because in Genesis, they realized they were naked. And of eating an apple made them realize they're naked to hand them out. That's what he said. And he said, I don't mean to be a rabbit, but isn't it the truth?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's man's education. But God knew what it was. And God promised he'd show it, and he did show it. We thank God for it. Amen. No difference. Amen. One blood. How many knows that? And you know the thing about that one blood, and I want to tell you this. There's no such thing of I'm from a certain line and I'm alright, and he from another line is lost. No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man's lost without Jesus Christ. Every man and woman needs to be saved and born. I have a Catholic friend and I said to him the other day, he came out of somewhere and I said to him, we stopped and I said, you know, it's not all about church and religion. I said, it's about a personal believing. Jesus Christ done at the cross. And I knew he was listening. And he was getting it. It's believing what Christ done at the cross that saves. Believing that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God have raised Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. That's God's word. Thank God for it. You see this baptism? You get into the water and you're saying, I'm dying. Just as Christ died. When you come out of the water, you're saying to the world, I'm a new creature. New creature. Just as God raised Jesus, I've been raised in newness of life as a real Christian, a real believer. Now I want you to see two last thoughts here in closing. I can't believe the time. I thought it was about 12:05. It's near 12:20. I'm going to have to get a slower watch. Well, that fix it. Praise God, but the slower watch fix it. Just quickly as I finish, two pictures of Old Testament baptism tied to the new. Here's the first one. 1 Corinthians 10:1-2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, but all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea. Now you know that's a type. Something greater coming, but it happened. Thank God for it. And look at Exodus 14. In Exodus 14, it's the exact same thing, and it tells you the actual account where it took place. Just to save time, but Exodus 14:21-22, if you want to write it down. So it's 1 Corinthians 10:1-2 and Exodus 14:21-22. The Israelites passing through the Red Sea were baptized under Moses as a type. Now look at the other one here. 1 Peter 3:20-21. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. That the like figure whereon the even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So it's not the water, but it's the answer of a good conscience towards God. By this, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On Genesis 6, and Genesis chapter 7, you read all about Noah and the ark. And they floated over. They were saved in the ark. Saved. The water saved them, didn't it? And it's a type. Praise God. Romans 6:4, I'm closing. This is your verse. Keep this verse. This is your baptism verse. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Thank God for his word. So we've seen the why, where, and all the rest of it. And when. When you believe, you do it. Then it doesn't mean you have to rush and do it and all either. It is important to do it. And we're going to do it. We're going to have a baptism. And anyone that wants baptized, we're going to have a baptism. We're going to see maybe brother, if we can see the brother over at Emerson's. You know the wee spot. And maybe even Saturday or Sunday, that we used to do it on a Sunday after church. Maybe whenever we can arrange it, as soon as we can, and you say wait for a good day, you might get one. You're in Ireland, Northern Ireland, aren't you? No, I'm not. I'm taking that back. We're going to get good days. Amen? Who wants good weather? Amen. Praise God. May the Lord send us a blistering sunburn. Amen. Real heat. Better not say hate wave, we'll get in trouble. Well, we want some sunshine, don't we? Amen. Isaac's maybe not listening this morning, but he cancelled the snow, and after that, it stopped anyhow. Didn't it? I must get talking to them when they see about some sunshine. Amen. You know, after that morning, he said, no, I've had enough now. I'm looking forward to the summer. Praise God. Aren't you looking forward to the summer? Amen. God bless everyone. I'm not going to ask anyone to Peter or nothing like that. You've heard God's word. You believe God's word. Yes. God's word's clear and plain, isn't it? And we'll have a baptismal soon now. At the end of this month, let me announce this, because I'll forget, and the wife will say to me, he never told them, and I'll forget, and have a head like I said. But it's the 28th, I had said the 24th, I got the dates mixed up. But it's the 28th, I go to Scotland, that's a Friday, and I'm doing four services for Brother Makeway over in Scotland. That's the church where Brother Ron was. And some more people's come back in there, and we thank God for that. We're going to have four special meetings. You pray for them services, that somebody will be reached by the gospel. And Brother John and my dad's going to do them meetings here. Then the week after that, we're going to have Brother Gary and Brother Samuel, if they're available. That'll be the week after. It'll be the first weekend in the new May. My old grandmother used to say, "Class not a clout to mayor's out." It's not it. Don't take no shirts after mayor's out, coats out. I think she's right. Amen. So Brother Gary and Brother Samuel, if they can commune with each other, who's his morning or evening. And also I've been invited down to Billy's. I'm not sure which weekend, so maybe if it was that weekend it would work in, but we'll see anyhow. But the Lord bless each and every one. Let's come and close our eyes. Let's stand our feet, and the brother prepared to come and just. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word is truth. Your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Father, I pray you'll grant the grace we need to each and every one of us to believe and follow your word. Lord, if there's any of us need some boldness, I pray you'll grant it, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll just help each and every one of us to live our lives for you, to be like Jesus is our prayer this morning. Lord, we desire to be closer to you and to be like you. And we do ask, as our brother prayed even at the start, that thou indeed will save all of our children, all of our sons and all of our daughters, that you'll take a dealing with each and every one of them and save them and deliver them in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you for the prayers that's been answered, and Father, for what you've done in the days of late, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, I thank you for touching my own body. I thank you, Lord, for touching others here. Continue to touch those here that would need your miraculous touch by the name of Jesus Christ, for we know there's healing in one touch from you. Lord, the old song says, just another touch from you to help me, Lord, in trials I go through. Lord, that's our prayer this morning, that you'll meet our needs spiritually, physically, and financially, that you'll bless us from the crown of our head to the very soles of our feet, that we'll go out with joy and rejoicing like the calves of the stall in Jesus Christ's name. Now bless the song leader and bless us as we come again tonight by thy grace to preach our gospel in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Praise God.
Happy, happy day when my soul found peace in the leaving and my sins were washed away.